Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Reclaiming the Republic, as I just stated, and something I haven't said in a while is this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. I can't emphasize enough how I'm not trying to be an entertainer. I may try to be funny, but that I'm not here to entertain you. And even though I may not be funny, because I'm commonly told, you know, I think the only person who thinks you're funny is you, by many people in my life. But that's okay. It doesn't keep me from trying. I'm the forever optimist, as I've been dubbed in my family as well. So when we talk about what time we have and what we got to do, and I talk about work formula, you know, or the formula or equation for work, work equals force times distance, you know, it's all about taking action. So you have to be engaged and active all the time. I'm constantly speaking with different leaders. And actually this past week, I had the privilege of speaking with Mark Lerner. He's been on this show. He's the founder of the Constitutional Alliance. And he has been the foremost and subject matter expert on the Real ID Act and the evil and danger within this act. And so I finally reminded him that we need to get a petition. And so he's once again committed to getting a petition to us that generically identifies how the federal Real ID Act violates the Constitution. And so this ought to be a very good, thorough start for us to have a petition so that you'll now be able to start going into your state to start demanding that they shut down this fake facial recognition, this artificial intelligence type of applications, and those types of things that governments are already deploying in America. So with that, in some of these conversations that I've had, and more specifically with Mark Lerner, it has kind of come up to the fact, because I share his frustration. I share the frustration of trying to get citizens to recognize their obligation instead and putting aside those passionate things, those fanatical things that tend to take over and they center their lives around this. It's like, you know, this Trump, you know, Trump is the most important thing. You know, in some way, some people, Trump is more important to people than Christ. And I'm going, are we that lost? You know, have people actually, you know, maybe Trump needs to say that, because look at what John Lennon did. John Lennon spoke the obvious thing because he basically blurted out and it destroyed their image for a while. And it took a while to overcome it. But there was a point in time where John Lennon was in an interview and they were talking about, you know, how much he's loved. And he made a comment to say, yeah, you know, the Americans love us more than Christ. And boy, that was the beginning of the burning of the Beatle albums. I mean, it was huge. And if you really think about it, see, that was a really bad press moment for them, a bad PR, public relations type of a moment for them. But it actually turned back around because over time, those wounds were healed. I mean, there are maybe a few people still to this day that, you know, couldn't forgive them. But many people did, and many people went out and bought those albums again. So he double-sold albums to people that, you know, got so passionate. It's the same thing with people with, you know, NFL, those types of things. Now, there's lots of people that are still not supporting the NFL. And as a matter of fact, in my circles of, you know, different relationships with other people, sports is no longer brought into the conversation because there's just so many people that are soured over this social justice movement and so forth. But to the point, and to try to, you know, provide the feedback, I understand, you know, Mark's position on, you know, having to deal with people that are so fanatical moving forward, the conservative body of people in America that are, you know, hardcore Trump supporters. Because what we're trying to do, and so this is one of the things that he kind of said, hey, you know, I'm afraid that we may not get the traction because it was going to be perceived that we're not supporting Trump. You know what? And this is my feedback to Mark. And yeah, I need to give him a call. I need to respond to his email. I've got to have the time, but I just don't have any time. I barely have time to do these shows at this point because of so many priority shifts and problems that have occurred that I just don't have the time to go through. But bottom line, if we're focused on First Amendment petitions and getting people to signing these petitions at Trump rallies, it doesn't matter what the event is. You can actually have, you know, an event that is just, you know, a bake sale and whip out the petition and get people to sign the petition. You can go into any event because even though they may be having a rally to support Trump, most of the people there would be willing to sign petitions to support the Constitution. I have a problem understanding why, you know, this can't mix. It's not like, you know, oil and vinegar. So what we need to do is we don't need to worry about how we're being divided. And what I want to do is I want to go through a good analysis of how we divide ourselves. And so, because when somebody finds out that something is evil and they go, wow, nobody knows about this. This is big. And they go, you know, it's all about public awareness. We need to make everybody aware of this. And so they go through this huge effort in campaigning or, you know, creating an organization and a campaign to educate people on a specific issue instead of just, you know, getting on board with, you know, because there's no reason why none of these, you know, these new issues that pop up can't actually become a part of our problem and a part of our solution by using petitions. You know, if we have the single mechanism that all are welcome, we're not a one song band. We support the entire Constitution and will play every song that is necessary to identify the violations, all of them. It doesn't matter if it's the 30,000 representations, the Second Amendment, it doesn't matter. They're all welcome because all violations need to be highlighted and brought forward. So one of the things that I want to do is I want to talk about conspiracy theories because conspiracy theories really get people going. And we have a huge conspiracy theory movements, some new conspiracy theory movements in America that are doing just what they're designed to do. They're designed to divide us. And as long as we become divided, we will be conquered. So one of the big things out there, and there's a lot of people that are captivated over election fraud and voter integrity and all of these efforts. And there's a lot, I'm telling you, if you go look at the formula of force times distance, there's a lot of people exerting a lot of force and they're not getting a lot of distance. It is not that there's not a problem with it. The problem is that if you don't know how to effectively change, because if you don't understand who the problem is with regarding your election fraud and voter fraud, it is your elected officials. They're protecting a system. They will protect the system to their death because it's what's keeping them in office. So when you look at what the problem is, we absolutely have to start actually holding them accountable. And election fraud and voter fraud and holding them accountable on this one thing is insufficient. This goes back to the theory of the 95 theses of Martin Luther, where Martin Luther actually used a long, comprehensive argument of how the Catholic Church was violating Scripture and the doctrines of Christ. And he proved this academically, and that's what you have to do. But it's if you only try to prove one thing, then you really haven't convinced people that these people in office are absolute bums. They may be a bum on one issue, but the other everybody doesn't see the other problems. We have to highlight everything. We have to go down this path of calling them out for everything, period. So election fraud and voter fraud, clearly the evidence is there that they're violated, and we even proved that not via election fraud and voter fraud, but by electoral college violations of the Constitution, Biden has no business being president. We are in a constitutional crisis. Every day that man continues to putt around and play president when he's not been chosen as the constitutional president. It's a big problem, folks, a huge problem. But it's not our only problem. So we don't just lie on, you know, demanding the removal of Biden, because for the next 4 years, I'll be pretty tired of demanding that and get nothing done. This is why we have the one petition, but we're not a one-song band. It's not our only petition. And we're working on getting a lot of these other petitions. And going through this Bill of Rights for 2022, the strategy of how we're going to hold them accountable, this is why we need to do this comprehensively, and this is why we're deploying Martin Luther's strategy. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so voter fraud is one of those issues that people, they've got to get involved and chase these things. And as we look at this, this becomes a big, huge lobby or big, huge arena as everybody comes to this and galvanizing, or I should say starting to become fanatics on Trump. And to the point where what Mark Lerner basically said to me is basically says, I need to understand that regardless of what we do, him and I,
there are going to be many people that will see what we are saying as being disloyal to Trump. That's not the case. And I'm going to basically say it this way, that when we are out doing petitions on both the removal of Biden, when we're doing a petition on the removal of Congress for failing to stop the invasion on our border, getting out of the UN, and state sovereignty, where the federal government can't possess any land and any things that are outside the enumerated properties, the Real ID Act that he's going to do. All of these issues have nothing to do with who we're supporting for Trump. All of these issues have everything to do with supporting the Constitution, which every citizen is legally obligated by birth. As a citizen, you are legally obligated. If you are a U.S. citizen, you must, when they have to do call to arms and need to call forth the militia, you are in the queue of being dragged into and defending and supporting the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So understanding this helps us, I think, move forward, because I think, you know, I get it. Everybody gets frustrated. Everybody, but bottom line, it's not about your guy or my guy. As a matter of fact, I don't have a guy. You know, I'm going to support whoever. And bottom line, it comes down to, because when it comes down to the primaries, if you want to play that game, I say the safe position is to dismantle the primary system. Absolutely. Dismantle the primary system. Because if we get rid of the primaries, then everybody is fair game in the general election. Then the Democrats won't have a free election to basically infiltrate the Republican side, because they're allowed to do it every year in every state. They get more votes on the Republican primary in getting their person elected that they think would be the best rhino to go against their other person. And then they have, you know, the diehards that just vote for the ideological people that, you know, are in the tank specifically. And so they kind of allow, you know, the mechanism to really work, so that they actually have, they're hedging their bets. The Democrats are hedging their bets via the party primary system, in making sure that whoever gets elected in the general will be pared down to two acceptable people instead of this entire field of people. Just imagine where we would be if we no longer had primaries. If we basically came, if we as the people demanded that the parties themselves, the state parties, paid for the primary election, whatever the dollar cost is for the state to print those things and to, you know, to do everything that they do in an operation of an election, let the primaries be paid for by the parties. We'll get this way, we'll no longer have it, and we'll actually be able to just go straight out into an election and vote, and let it be so that people will make their choices of how they are choosing to vote. Because it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican anymore. You don't get it. Everybody gets the same ballot, and everybody will have a shot at voting for one person or the other. And there's lots of ways of fixing, you know, the ballots and so forth. But bottom line, that is just one conspiracy issue out there that is just sparking people, you know, to go OCD. Chemtrails. I've just got a few random ones here. Chemtrails is another one. So we have empirical data on voter and election fraud to prove that that's not a conspiracy theory. We absolutely have a huge problem regarding voter and election integrity, period. There are way too many people that are violating the laws in trying to ensure and protect, you know, their corruption based on, you know, maintaining corruption via the election. Chemtrails is the same thing. There is plenty of empirical data. So if you don't know what chemtrails are, those are those lines that come off of the airplanes way up in the sky that, as you notice, the contrail, what they call a condensation of water, as the aircraft passes through the air, it creates this little contrail. Well, a chemtrail is when it's actually not a contrail. It's actually chemicals that are being sprayed into the atmosphere. Now, this sounds really wild. Like, who's doing that, and why would they be doing that? If you don't believe that chemtrails have not been developed and have evolved since the 90s, then all you need to do is do a Google search or a DuckDuckGo search with NASA plus Tar Fox. Just do a search with a search engine with NASA plus TarFox, TARFOX, and you will find how they created this test case, this study that they did in spraying small fine metal particulates that would reflect the air or reflect the light coming into the earth from the sun by putting these small, you know, little pieces of metal up in the air, and then how they would react with the prevailing winds. Now, this study that they did in studying the prevailing winds and the effects on the different types of chemicals at different, I mean, there was a whole bunch of work that they did. They did a lot of work, force times distance, in testing and spraying and testing all year round. And they actually did this, NASA did this with the University of Washington and other universities. There are other universities that started playing in this game too. But Tar Fox was originally done with NASA and the University of Washington. The empirical data is there, folks. It's not even like it's hiding. And when people say, oh, well, that's a contrail, and that contrail turns into a cloud, I'm sorry, there's no way on, you know, in our world of physics, can physics be denied? In other words, that contrail, the vapors will actually go back to becoming atmosphere. Contrail vapors do not turn into clouds. That is why when you watch jets fly by, there's certain jets that, you know, may create a contrail, but they don't leave a permanent trail behind them. And when you start watching and you watch that contrail disappear, and then all of a sudden a part of that contrail actually stays there, and then you follow that contrail across the horizon, and you'll notice that contrail ends, you know, this cloud formation ends, even though the contrail keeps going on, and you'll see that contrail disappear. The next thing you know, you just have one big line where they basically laid out this chemtrail up in the atmosphere. And if you haven't seen these things, then you're not looking up. You're not paying attention to your environment. And my question is, why is it that state legislators do not understand chemtrails and what the heck's being sprayed? And why are their people being sprayed? Why aren't they protecting you? This is a legitimate issue. Protecting you from these hazards and damage that could be a result. I mean, they're putting metal in the air, folks. How in any argument is that a good thing for our health and for our environment? So it gets into the water and so forth. That's why when you actually start looking at snow studies and they say, well, look at some of these bad metals that are being found in snow, like in Shasta and so forth. Folks, that's because of the contrails. It's not because of air pollution. Here we actually have planes injecting more pollution in the air. Because the intent is to reduce global warming. I would ask you to go look at images of NASA from the late 50s and the early 60s of pictures of Earth and how dark blue Earth used to be. And look at pictures of Earth since the mid-2010s to 2020. Look at some of the images that they're taking. America has, or I should say the world, has a permanent white haze around it. It's losing its blue. You can't tell me that that's not a conspiracy. But everybody says, this is all, you know, whack out, you know, put your aluminum foil hats on, folks, because these guys are talking absolute insane conspiracy, and I'm telling you, there's hardcore evidence that you can't deny this. You can't deny it. There's also hardcore evidence with Agenda 21 and the child derivative agendas, Agenda 2030, the 30 plan, 3030 plan, or whatever. So there's hardcore evidence with a lot of conspiracies out there. I just mentioned three real quick. But what about the 9/11 conspiracies? There's hardcore evidence that proves some of the stuff, but some of the other stuff is really wacko. So you'll actually find that in some conspiracy theory cases, you'll go, you know what? Some of it is substantiated or can be substantiated, and much of it can't. So there's always these, you know, injections of conspiracy theory. But just because one thing it can be substantiated doesn't mean it's all substantiated. So we have to start determining, you know, what's the truth and what isn't the truth. And so there's some new conspiracies, and I want to go through them when we come back from the break, that are out there challenging people. And I'm going to focus on one that has infiltrated the conservative movement, or the new constitutionalists, the good people of America. And it is perverting you. We will be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just have a little fun here as I start poking at some of these, you know, conspiracy theories. Now, there's this conspiracy theory that, you know, there's a lot of people that say, okay. But I haven't seen anything that's hardcore. I mean, there's some pictures. And there's some, you know, some innuendos, and who knows the accuracy of a picture today with photoshopping and so forth. And, you know, we need to change that name from Photoshop to something else, photo editing, because there's Adobe products and the Adobe Corporation. Adobe used to make really great products, and the Adobe Corporation was always very protective of its intellectual material and its products and so forth. But Adobe became ridiculously aggressive in actually taking legitimate licenses and saying, you know what, we don't care if you bought that package, that, you know, that suite of our products from a college institution, a legitimate retailer. They're not what we considered legitimate, so we're not validating that license anymore. I mean, for 10 years, that license was valid. And Adobe didn't push back. But now they're saying only from these sellers do we consider your licenses. So in other words, they're now telling you that regardless of how you get that product, you have to have a receipt from this reseller. And I'm going, are you kidding me? So that means I can't buy it from somebody else? I can't buy a legitimate version of Adobe from somebody. I have to buy it from a very specific, I have to pay full price and prove that I paid full price. And universities were able to get these packages, and this is how Adobe grew. This is very similar to what Apple did. But my point is, and I'm going down a rat hole because I was just talking about Photoshopping, but there's, let me just get out of that. I could grind my axe on Adobe. If you have Adobe, you know, you need to find a different product or at least end your support with Adobe and live on that product till it dies, until you die, because they don't deserve a penny from us anymore. I think they're Canadian as well. But anywho, there are pictures of Michael Obama, Michelle Obama, and if you've seen these things, you've seen these, you know, this conspiracy that, you know, she's a, you know, a he-she, and that, you know, Obama is, you know, literally made history, not by just being the first black president, but having a, you know, a homosexual relationship, you know, in the White House. And so, I mean, it basically became and proved how America has really gone downhill. But the question is this a valid conspiracy? Is it substantiated? And like I said, I've not seen, there may be something substantiated, but before you say, hey, that's a legitimate conspiracy, and it's not a conspiracy anymore, it's substantiated, this is what is, then before you say that, you better have some good, legitimate evidence that supports this. You know, like a doctor's record, a record of the surgery, you know, of a gender reassignment for a very specific person that was on a birth certificate that is actually Michelle Obama. Something like that. I mean, we need evidence before we can just actually say, that's a he-she. And my point is this, folks, is that it's entertaining and it's a conspiracy that's out there. You go, there's this allegation. It's an allegation. That's all. Doesn't mean it's proven, but it's something that you can, and there's nothing wrong with sharing allegations as long as you let people know that, hey, here's an allegation that, you know, Michelle was actually Michael before, you know, her and Obama got married, or him and Obama got married. See my point? Because now you're letting that person say, okay, this isn't proven, but there is some interesting evidence that suggests this. And that's all we're saying. But just like the Michelle Obama pictures and Photoshops and so forth, who knows? But there's an insidious movement that has become one of the most divisive movements in America today. And when I say by divisive, when I look at the people that we need to save America, they are the U.S. citizens and patriots who we believe would be willing to actually support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. We have plenty of enemies in America who are trying to destroy our Constitution. And we have, and everybody else who isn't trying to destroy the Constitution are those we need to convince to actually become the patriot in standing up. But we have way too many patriots that are being sucked into conspiracy theories that have no legitimate substantiation. As a matter of fact, the overwhelming evidence proves that these organizations do not have your best interest. These organizations are actually lying to you and using deceit in getting you to actually buy into, you know, their theory. And, you know, next thing you know, you're going, okay, you know, I believe this. And what I need to do is I'd like to have Paul Venable on, because Paul Venable is in the thick of this. And we've talked about this. And what I'm trying to do, more importantly, is I'm trying to get these leaders of these organizations. There's a guy by the name of Fred, I think he's in Idaho, that, you know, he keeps on telling people that, oh, this wins, I'm winning with this. But they're not proving any evidence. Just because you can stupefy a police officer where a police officer doesn't know what to do and they just kind of walk away, because there's a video out there that's showing these idiots in Wyoming that have bought into this stupid idea that they're not citizens of the United States, that they're above the law of the corporations, that, you know, you can't touch them. Well, hold on here. Do you understand what they just said? They just said that they're not citizens. Well, if you're not citizens, then you're a foreigner and you have no business being within the United States, because the Constitution does create and establish U.S. citizens. It doesn't establish the U.S. citizens that they say it does. They say it's been, and it doesn't legitimately create this perverted idea of citizens, is what I'm really trying to say. You've got to be careful here. The U.S. Constitution creates citizens and supports and protects the privileges and immunities of U.S. citizens. It does not subjugate citizens. It does not make citizens slaves or property. U.S. citizens are sovereign and should enjoy the full liberty guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. So anybody that's telling you, as a U.S. citizen, you're the problem. You need to get out of being a U.S. citizen. That person does not understand our government, who's getting you to basically surrender the most important citizenship that has ever been on the world other than Christianity itself. So with that, what we want to do is help you understand that there is zero substantiated evidence. Now, some of these folks are pointing to, you know, the laws of England based on the Magna Carta, that based on this law that, you know, you have become a child and you have to declare yourself as an adult. Hold on, folks. Since when in America, under our Constitution, does that law have any validity or force? Has it been adopted to the Constitution? No. So how is it that people are buying into these arcane laws under a monarchy and saying that they're applicable here in the United States? The only way they could become applicable in the United States is they'd have to become an amendment to the Constitution, because clearly in the Magna Carta, there was a right. It was in Chapter 61. The right of petitioning government for the redress of grievances was clearly in the Magna Carta. Well, hold on here. Well, it's obviously here because GR is talking about it. Yes, it's an amendment to the Constitution. Those things that were essential for protecting liberty and individual liberty and individual sovereignty was brought forward into this Constitution by amendment. In other words, if the government felt that citizens had to become, you know, for a citizen to become an active citizen, they had to declare themselves as an adult, then that has to be an amendment to the Constitution. If it doesn't delegate to the government to subjugate people and make us all children, which that power does not exist in the Constitution. So in other words, if that hasn't been delegated to the federal government, they can't do it. I mean, how many ways do I have to explain, and how many times do we need to go through this? And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. As often as necessary, as often as, you know, you require to finally understand, hold on here. If it's not enumerated, they can't be doing it. So if the government actually is doing this and selling you as property, if the government is actually convincing you that you aren't a, you know, you don't have these protections, then you are buying into a, you know, what do they call that? A scheme? You're buying into a scam. You're being played. And bottom line, nothing that they're doing, if they're doing anything that is not within the Constitution, none of those things that they do not within the Constitution are valid. So why would anybody basically take an invalid thing that the government's doing, whether it be the Department of Transportation or these corporations or what have you? We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Yeah, so as I was trying to say, you know, we have all of these things that the federal government is doing, almost all of them, environmental protection, education, educational loans, and leverage on those loans that you can't go bankrupt. I mean, there's so many different things that they're doing that are abject violations of the Constitution. So in other words, the only way they become legitimate is if you actually accept them and you ignore the violation. But the danger, as Madison stated, in operating this way is you only need to wake the people up to actually undo everything all the way back to the beginning and actually hold people accountable for what they have done. That means that everybody, those who have the authority, those who did it with authority, and those who allowed it with authority. What does that mean? That means that Congress, if Congress passed an act, and there are people that voted for that act, and actually got out there, sorry about that, and somebody actually got out there and voted against it, then that person that got out there to vote against it, you don't hold them accountable. They did their job. And when that new act becomes law, like the Civil Rights Act, and states actually incorporate that law as a galvanized law instead of actually doing their own state law, instead of basically saying, you don't have the authority to make that law. However, this state will now incorporate, or not incorporate, will create its own law that establishes the rights of all individuals. All citizens will enjoy these rights. We will not allow class warfare, whether it be racial, gender, age, or those types of things, and then create what those protections are, but not allow the federal government to dictate and to establish crimes and punishments over the violations of these laws because they have no jurisdiction or authority. So if you think something's good and you think you need to do it, then it is incumbent on the states to actually just act in accordance, because they're not obligated. Now, those states that actually just accept this crap, whether that be, the investment in the, what was it, the CARE, or what was that act, the reinvestment, CRA, the Community Reinvestment Act that Jimmy Carter did, or any of these acts that they do, like just recently, they've done acts like this Respect for Marriage Act. It doesn't matter. These acts have no constitutional force. They have no authority. These are not within their enumerated powers. And so with states don't have to respond to that. States, all the state has to do is basically come out with a law that does not recognize federal jurisdiction over marriage or over any religious matter. And marriage is a religious matter. Bottom line, folks. When we look at the sovereign citizen, the assembly movement, the committees of safety movement, all of these different movements, these movements are more dangerous than the convention of states and the anti-convention of states. In other words, the John Birch Society, you hear me complain about them, but they're not nearly as dangerous as these people running around convincing you to give up your citizenship. That is far more dangerous. These folks that are out there trying to convene a convention, on amending the Constitution, that may be dangerous, but it's not as dangerous as getting citizens to surrender their citizenship. Once you have surrendered, once you have crossed the T's and dotted the I's and say, I'm out, it's almost like denying Christ and saying, I have no desire to be saved. If you're a Christian, you understand what I am saying. The magnitude of your divorcing yourself from the citizenship of this godly nation, the ramifications of that is just, it's stupefying. And as far as I'm concerned, when we see these folks, when we see this video, I have not seen the video, but if I saw the video and I had a login to that particular channel or to be able to log into that website, I would actually state, well, how stupid are these police officers? If these guys say they're not U.S. citizens, then these guys ought to arrest them as foreigners and deport them. Be done with it. I am telling you, if you are not a citizen, you cannot I said this last week. If you're not a U.S. citizen, the protections of the U.S. Constitution do not apply to you. The federal courts have tried to extend it to foreigners. This is why everybody's scratching their heads. Who gets protection under the Constitution? And it is clear. Only U.S. citizens can vote. Only U.S. citizens have the right to, have privileges and immunities. That's why it says no state can make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges or immunities of a U.S. citizen. It doesn't say U.S. citizens and foreigners. No, only U.S. citizens can enjoy the privileges and immunities and protections within this nation. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to actually start seeing, and maybe we need to start having conversations with the sheriff to basically get them attuned to the fact that if you decide to go down this path of becoming a citizen, you are putting yourself in harm's way of being deported. And if you do this, that doesn't mean your children have done it. Because I believe, and this is let's just say a family, a husband and wife, and they have a few kids, and some of the kids are of age. Let's say all the kids are 8 years old or older or 12 years old. They're all kind of, teenagers and fully accountable in the eyes of God. And the husband and wife decided that they wanted to go off and excommunicate themselves from Christ. and say, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, we and try to, you know, seek this new fangled religion that doesn't have Christ as their savior. Whatever it is that they're doing, and they excommunicate themselves. Now you now realize that you don't have a place to go to anymore. You're going to the same place as, you know, that lake of fire and brimstone, whatever. You're going to hell. That's where you're going to go, because you're not welcome with all of the other citizens of Christianity, the citizens of Christ. So it's the same thing with the United States. Why is it that we're allowing people to stay here that don't want to be here? They don't want to be citizens. I don't care where you put them. That means that they surrender their property rights, folks. Whatever property they have isn't theirs anymore. Well, we allow them to keep it, but we don't have to. This is just like the Tory Acts. Please, folks, read the Tory Acts. The Tories, who were considered enemies to our Constitution and enemies to our way of life, those folks, they lost everything. They were kicked out. They were no longer considered U.S. citizens and acceptable to stay here. They were banished. And government has the authority to do that. We are not obligated to keep the enemy in our midst. That it flies in the face. Even the Bible tells us this stuff, folks. So when we start really looking at what they're doing, what needs to be done, and what we have to do, I want to be clear. If you are a U.S. citizen, your obligation is clear. All U.S. citizens are legally obligated in supporting the Constitution and defending it against enemies, foreign and domestic. So when people basically start telling you that the Constitution is actually the mechanism of, you know, making you a slave, when it doesn't have that authority, it's not there, these people are lying. When these people create archaic laws and try to connect them as the legal legitimate laws of today, without an amendment, without actually going and getting the state's authority and buy-in to say that's legitimate, they're lying to you. And I know that people get taken advantage of all the time. And my heart goes out to these people. These people need to undo what they're doing, and they need to start waking up. And this is a growing movement in America. And the reason why it is so dangerous is because now is the time when all men must come to the aid of its country. I mean, there's actually a statement on that. There's actually an assertion or a statement. Historically, that's one of those things that you learn how to type. You know, like the brown fox or whatever, these little words that get you to use all these special keys. And I'm here to tell you, folks, we need to start waking people up. People need to start realizing that they've been duped. They've been seriously duped. Now, I can go on and on and on, but we have to stop allowing ourselves to become useless, because if you remove yourself from citizenship, you become useless. And this is what's happening, and this is the epitome of being divided as patriots and becoming useless because you're no longer a patriot. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.